This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Fitness, Health News, and Stress Management channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Leonard Perlmutter, founder and director of the American Meditation Institute and a best-selling author. Mr. Perlmutter, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
And you're most welcome. Thanks for taking out a moment to be with us. So for starters, tell us about your new book, The Heart and Science of Yoga, to kick things off today.
Well, The Heart and Science of Yoga really evolved out of my own personal study of yoga science and practice, and then ultimately teaching. The book explains to folks that classical yoga science is really a science. It dates back 5,000 to 6,000 years old. The Heart and Science of Yoga, it provides a template, really, for experimenting with the truth in the midst of all sorts of relationships that we have. We're human beings, we're very complicated animals, and we have lots of different kinds of physical, mental, emotional relationships. And yoga provides us a template for experimenting with the truth in the midst of those kinds of relationships so that we can experience greater happiness and health and security. For that purpose of experimentation, however, in order for it to take place, an individual must use their own mind-body-sense complex as the laboratory to discover the truth, to employ the truth in every thought, word, and deed. And very often, in order to successfully complete a yoga experiment, the yoga scientist must actually sacrifice some old habit that is in conflict with their own inner wisdom. I'm talking about things like fear or anger or selfish desire. So one of the important tools that's provided by the Heart and Science of Yoga is actually the bridge of yoga. Yoga itself, Eric, means union. And as a philosophy and as a science, yoga is seen and understood as a metaphoric bridge that connects our outer action with our inner wisdom. And we do that by using our conscience. We're all taught that we have a conscience, but more than that, we're really not taught, not in school, not in college, not in university. But the conscience is what differentiates human beings from every other form of animal. We have the capacity to use the conscience to access the superconscious portion of the mind. Now, that's another strange concept, the superconscious portion of the mind. I know that we've all heard about the conscious mind, and we've heard about the unconscious mind, but the superconscious mind, what is that? Is that just something mystical or a metaphor? No, it is an actual portion of the mind that we all have access to through the conscience. It's the same portion of the mind where Paul McCartney hears beautiful melodies. It's the same portion of the mind where Albert Einstein could access and see mathematical equations. Doesn't mean that you're going to become a mathematician or a physicist, Eric. Doesn't mean that Leonard is going to become a songwriter. What it does mean is that through the use and employing of the bridge of yoga, the more that we counsel within, using the conscience to access inner wisdom, if we can then employ that wisdom through our thoughts, through our words, and through our actions, the promise is that we will be able to experience in greater amounts happiness, health, and security. But I have to mention that the opposite is true, too, that if our outer actions conflict with inner wisdom, if we don't use a philosophy of life to base outer action on inner wisdom, that inner conflict is going to become the mother of all problems, and it is going to bring about physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual dis-ease or pain.
And Mr. Perlmutter, thanks so much for sharing all the details in all regards. Now, what important information would you like to share about the contents here in the book?
Well, one of the most powerful aspects is is the mantra, the use of a mantra. The mantra is a word or a series of words that contains the name of the divine reality. Meditation is the key, and mantra is the object of our conscious attention through seated meditation, but also throughout the day, just listening to the mantra. It does two separate things. First of all, every time you listen to the mantra, this perfect harmonic, it generates love and fearlessness and strength in our lives. And secondly, it introduces us to our true self. We are actually citizens of two worlds simultaneously. We know that we have a body, we know that we have a mind, we know that we have senses, but we're more than that. We are actually a citizen of two worlds. We are also a citizen of the spiritual world. At the core level of our personality, we are pure consciousness. And part of consciousness contains an intuitive library of wisdom known as the superconscious mind. And we are also bliss and fullness. These are the types of things that the heart and science of yoga begins to teach us, asks us to experiment with, to see if we can reduce the stress, the anxiety, and the burnout in our lives, and to replace it with happiness and health and security.
Also, tell us, what are some of the key health benefits of yoga and meditation, and are there any scientific studies that you can point to?
Well, as part of the American Meditation Institute's application to the American Medical Association to be certified to teach physicians and other healthcare providers, the American Meditation Institute, which I have founded, created a study of students who already completed a six-week course based on the curriculum of the Heart and Science of Yoga. And the findings that we came up with are very powerful. First of all, a daily meditation and yoga practice increases a strong immune system. It reduces stress and fear. It decreases anxiety and depression. It lowers blood pressure. It lowers the heart rate. It stimulates brain function and creativity. It improves better sleep, more restorative sleep. It improves our energy. These are unbelievably beneficial benefits that come from meditation. I could go on. It diminishes migraine headaches. It eliminates irritable bowel syndrome. It reduces cholesterol. All of these have been proven through clinical studies.
Today we are speaking with Mr. Leonard Perlmutter, the founder and director of the American Meditation Institute and a best-selling author here on eHealth Radio's Fitness, Health, News, and Stress Management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. So Mr. Perlmutter, why do you think yoga is so popular today? We are now seeing yoga centers for children and work environments all across the globe, bringing in yoga experts. Get into that a little, if you would.
Well, I think on a very practical level, the primary reason why it's so popular today and growing in popularity, first and foremost, is, and I know everybody knows this, but we're in a lot of pain. We're in physical pain. We're in emotional pain. We're in mental pain. And we don't seem to be able to find a solution within the cultural matrix. The only thing that the culture is offering is either drug therapy or just physical exercise. But what's interesting is that the unconscious mind, which is the cause of so much of our stress and anxiety, is a million times more powerful than good intention. So what that means is we need to be able to access the unconscious mind. Meditation does that. Nothing else does that. Meditation helps us to re-engineer the software of the mind. In other words, the fear, the anger, the selfish desires that conflict with our inner wisdom, that motivate us to take actions that cause so much stress in our lives, those aspects that are in the unconscious mind are just energy. Now, we learned in fifth grade that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed. And in relationships, when we become aware of fear, anger, and selfish desire. If we serve it, that contractive force is going to bring more stress, more anxiety, more dis-ease, and if we don't address it, it's going to turn into disease. But we know that even though energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can be transformed. So if we can sacrifice our fear, not serve it in mind and action, and if we can sacrifice our anger and our selfish desires, we can transform it into strategic reserves of a positive healing energy, an increase in creativity, and an increase in willpower. So that's the scientific aspect of yoga science, and a way of addressing and ameliorating and even eliminating the stress and anxiety and burnout that we've been experiencing.
Interesting facts there. Now, insomnia is an epidemic also in the United States, and Americans work long hours, and with tech gadgets in their hands, it is so difficult to disconnect. How can yoga and meditation help with insomnia, and what tips can you offer our listeners in these regards?
Well, insomnia is not a problem. Insomnia, in my estimation, is a reflection of inner conflict. What does that mean? It means that when we think, we speak, and we act in ways that are in conflict with our own inner wisdom. And remember what Shakespeare said, above all else, to thine own self be true. If we're not true to ourselves, if we think, we speak, and we act in ways that conflict with our inner wisdom, we experience pain. And so that pain can take the form of restless evening sleep. My experience is the more that I employ the bridge of yoga, the more that I access inner wisdom through my conscience during the day, serving only those thoughts, desires, emotions, and concepts that have the good housekeeping seal of approval of our own inner wisdom, our conscience, generally speaking, I'll have a good night's sleep, sound and restorative. But if I think, speak, and act in conflict with inner wisdom, then chances are when I go to sleep, I'll have a restless night's sleep. And even if I fall asleep, I might have dreams that are very threatening and fear-producing. So the way to ameliorate insomnia, to have a good restorative evening night's sleep, is to use the bridge of yoga as outlined in the Heart and Science of Yoga to base your outer action on your inner wisdom. And the only thing that it will cost you are old habits that are the cause of our pain.
Well, Mr. Perlmutter, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you with us, and thanks for all the information shared here today per your expertise. Where can listeners get more information accordingly, and how can listeners also pick up the book?
Well, thank you, Eric. The American Meditation Institute has a website. It's americanmeditation.org, americanmeditation.org. And the book can be purchased there. It can be purchased at all fine bookstores, Barnes & Noble especially, as well as Amazon. We have classes. We have videos. Everything can be seen and accessed through americanmeditation.org. We have a Facebook page as well. So we invite people to visit. And if anybody has any questions in particular, contact me through the information that's contained on the website at americanmeditation.org.
Easy enough. Well, Mr. Perlmutter, it has been our pleasure to have had you. And again, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the invitation.
And you're most welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Leonard Perlmutter, founder and director of the American Meditation Institute. He's also a best-selling author. And once again, for more information, visit americanmeditation.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Fitness, Health News, and Stress Management channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.